Good morning, everyone. How you doing? Good. Isn't this weather awesome? Man, I tell you what, it is definitely football weather when you have to wear a jacket, right? Yeah, that's great. That's great. All right. If you would open up your bulletin this morning with me on the back, make sure you notice the connection card. If you would please put your name, address, telephone number on that. And turn it into the, in the offering basket later in the service. That would be awesome. If you're visiting with us, we want to tell you so much how welcome you are this morning, and thank you so much for being present with us. If you would do this for us, we would greatly appreciate it, and that would be your offering to us, to put that in the offering basket later on in the service. So we do thank you so much. On the back side of that connection card are various areas of ministry that you could be involved with. If you are curious about any one of those, make sure you check it, and the office or that ministry area will be in touch with you in that regard. So thank you so much for paying attention to that this morning, and again, turning that in the offering basket later in the service. Your announcements, you know, this church is such an active church, I can't go through all of them. I want to lift up the youth breakfast next week. Because we had so many people, adults and youth, go on the youth mission trip this last summer, their funds are totally depleted. And matter of fact, they still have some bills to pay from that trip. And so this breakfast is helping them raise some funds to overcome that deficit. So if you would please be here for, come hungry, Jamie says, for the youth group, and they will serve you breakfast next week from 8 to 10. Of course, that's spread out that way, so you'll have plenty of time and not miss Sunday school or worship service. So, all right, all of the announcements are very important. Please pay close attention to all of them. Compare that to your calendar at home so you can be involved. Don't forget our inserts. Family Fun Festival is coming up very quickly, so make sure you read through this insert. Turn that in also if you are interested. Today is World Communion Sunday. World Communion Sunday. It is because of this day that many people who do not have access to books are able to have access to books. Because you put money in these envelopes, they can get an education. So make sure you read through this pamphlet if you would like to give to that. This is World Communion Sunday, so people who participate in this all over the world are taking communion today in that regard. Also, Festival of Sharing is coming up quick, October 16th. It's hard to believe, I know. It's in Sedalia, so it's right next door to us. If you would like to give to that cause, make sure you use this envelope and put that in the offering basket as well. Our offering baskets will be overflowing today. I just know it. The tan, buff, what, off-white, beige. Feel like mini-me all of a sudden. Anyway, our cliff notes for today. Make sure that you take this home with your bulletins that has our joys and concerns in it. And when Deanna is talking today during joys and concerns, in case there's some extra ones, make sure you have a pencil or pen handy so you can write them down, and then put these by your prayer chair so that you have some folks to pray for by name, and also a devotional that will keep you going through the week. We have a special day today. Amen. You know, anytime we can get together is special, and I appreciate that, and I actually have a lot of fun every Sunday. I hope you do too. But today is very special because we have a couple guests that I want to introduce. Now, if you are visiting with us, do not worry. We do not introduce guests, but these guests are actually new into town. And Justin and Stacy, would you come on down? This is Justin and Stacy Grifford, and Justin is our new associate pastor.
Can you imagine?
You didn't even have to sleep in your car last night, did you?
Yeah,
that's awesome. Great.
Can you imagine if every guest had to come up and speak for like 5 minutes, though, if it was their first time in the church? That'd be pretty cool.
Guests.
Probably so, yeah. Hello. Thank you, everyone, for welcoming us to the church, to the community. My name is Justin Grifford. This is my wife, Stacy. We got married last year, June of 2009. We graduated. We graduated last year in May of 2009, got married a month later, and then a month after that, we moved to South Korea, where we spent a year teaching English, and during that time, we had decided to come back to the States, and we were just kind of wondering what place God had for us, and we spent a lot of time in prayer about that. I believe Acts 17 says that God allots and appoints periods of time and places for men to be so that they can seek him. And in that, we got about an email about a month before we came back from Katie Boyce and the search team inviting us to come out for an interview. And so about a week after we were in the U.S., we came to Warsaw, and I noted that we survived the gauntlet of questions and activities and survived to accept the position. And so we believe that we are here at this time and at this place to seek God with you. And I would like to thank the search committee. We'd like to especially thank Dave and Cynthia Bollinger for housing us during that, and also extended in the last service the thank you to John and Katie Boyce for letting us stay with them while we were searching for a house and all that fun stuff. So, and a few days after we found out about the job, we actually found out that we have our first child on the way. So lots of things going on. But we're excited to be here with you guys, and we look forward to getting to know all of you one at a time. So thank you very much.
You know, after you get to know them, you are just going to fall in love with them. They are awesome, charismatic people. And thank you so much for saying yes. And the gauntlet that he spoke of, all the staff parish was kind of troubled because, you know, we wanted to have as many people meet both of them while they were here, right? And so it started at 6:30 that morning with a breakfast at the Bollingers and lasted till about 11:30 that night, I think, with the interview. So we were prayerfully, we felt sorry, but not enough to change the schedule. Seriously, thank you so much. They're a lot of fun, and I look forward to all of you getting to know them as they come on board here at First Church. So thank you so much. Make sure you spend some time after worship with regard to their welcome out here. You saw the cake and the punch. Even if you don't want cake and punch, make sure you shake their hand and welcome them to First Church. So anyway, an exciting day for the life of this church, a new chapter to be sure. One thing I failed to mention earlier, we have new prayer teams that are beginning. Some are during our worship services praying for God's presence to be here, for healing to be felt and understood in both services. There are many different areas in the church that different people are praying. And so right after this service, the prayer team is going to meet. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Right after the reception, the prayer team is going to meet in the Seekers class right over here, and Mickey is going to lead that. So make sure that you remember to do that. So thank you all so very much. Have you filled out your connection card this morning? Excellent. Are you ready for an awesome worship service?
Yes.
Great. Let's have an opening prayer, and then Marianne will begin us with our prelude. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks so much for this day. We thank you, God, for the ability to gather together without fear. And we give you praise for all of those men and women in the history of the church and before that help us have that freedom, God. We thank you so much that as we gather, we can come together as a community of faith, God, and just celebrate your healing and your wholeness that's in our lives and be able to share that energy and that positive vibe with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we give you praise for that gift, God. Worship is a gift. And although we understand that you are here present today, we want to be deliberate in asking for your powerful presence, God. In Jesus' name, we ask for you to anoint us with the Spirit. Wash over us, God, no matter what is going on in our lives today. Help us focus our hearts and our minds and our souls upon you, the only one that really matters, God. energize us today. Give us your wisdom and your courage. Give us all that we need, Lord, to make a positive effect in our lives and those that are around us. Be with us, Lord. Make us one with you and one with each other. In Jesus' holy, holy, holy name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Stand, grab your blue hymn books, and turn to page number 144. We will sing together, "This Is My Father's World." Seated. If the children will now come down for Kids Corner, you get to spend time with Ginger this morning.
I love Jesus.
Hey, David.
Yes, I do.
Sit down here in front corner.
I
Stephen,
love Jesus.
Sit back over here.
How about you? I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Yes, I do. I love Jesus.
Good morning, guys. I'm trying to keep this thing on. This morning, I have a box. It is a magic gossip box. I'm going to demonstrate to you. Here I have in my hand a spoon, an ordinary kitchen spoon. I'm going to put it in this side of the box, and I'm going to pull it out this side. It's bigger, isn't it? Yes, sir, it's my magic gossip box. Now, let's see if it really works again. A spoon. A fork. An ordinary salad fork. I'm going to stick it in my gossip, magic gossip box, and I'm going to pull it out the other side. It's bigger. Oh, my goodness. Looky there. It's my magic gossip box. Now, oh, yeah. That's what I give you to eat Thanksgiving dinner with. Okay. Now, we have a cookie, a very, very tiny mini cookie. Not much good, is it? Very little. I'm going to put it in my magic gossip box, and I'm going to pull it out the other side. Whoa, looky there. Okay, one more time. A bowl, a very, very small little bitty plastic bowl. Okay. I'm going to put it in my magic gossip box, and I'm going to pull it out the other side. You can see. Okay. See how big it is? Now, let me tell you guys something. You kind of figured out my trick, didn't you? Well, you know what magic is all about, right? It's kind of tricky. But I want to tell you what my gossip box means, okay? Gossip is when someone tells somebody else a bad story about a person. Now, it can be true or it may not be true, but it still hurts the person that's being told about. It's kind of like my magic box. It grows and grows and grows. Let me show you a trick. There was really two of them, wasn't there? Okay. Now, what gossip is this. Once somebody tells a bad story about somebody, then that person tells somebody else. And then that somebody else tells somebody else. And every time the story is told, it gets bigger and it gets bigger. Sometimes people don't mean it. They misunderstand, or maybe they just add a little bit to it. But it's not good. Jesus doesn't like gossip. He doesn't like us to gossip. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness against one another. That means, hey guys, don't tell bad stories about each other. It hurts people, okay? And that's what I want to remind you all, that if somebody comes to you and wants to tell you something bad about somebody else, go, whoa, not interested. If it's not good things about him, I don't want to hear it. Okay? Now, this morning I have for you some cookies. There's a little bitty cookie and a regular size cookie. Just to remind you how gossip grows, okay? Okay. Get your cookie and get your cup.
While the children are collecting change for missions, if you'd please turn in your hymn books to page number 261, we'll sing verses 1 through 3, Lord of the Dance.
I dance in the morning.
danced in the moon and the stars and the sun.
And I
came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced for the scribe and the Pharisee,
but they would not dance and they would not follow me. I danced for the fishermen, for James and John. They came to me and the dance went on. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on the Sabbath when I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high, and they left me there on a cross to die. Dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be. And I'll lead you all in the dance, said he.
Ginger, you just always stretch us. Thank you. Even though we're not right down here with you, out here in the pews, we're being stretched. Thank you. Thank you. I would like to remind you all that when you leave today, that on your bulletins are these names. Names of people that are members of our congregation, or related by family, or a part of our community. Somehow they touch lives. So I ask that you take these with you and remember to pray for each one this week. Keep it by your prayer chair and keep them in your prayers. Let us bow our heads. Father, we come to you this morning as your sons and your daughters. We come from a week of being in the world, walking, working, going to school, being at home, reaching out, touching people in ways that we just never know exactly sometimes what those words or a hug are going to mean in someone's lives. We thank you for being there with us, always, no matter what, even if we get too busy to remember that you are there with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let us always be mindful that we are your witness. We are your hands and feet in this world. And that through you, we can tackle anything. And through you, we have a church family also to rely on to help give us strength and encouragement. We thank you especially today, dear Lord, for bringing us Justin and Stacy, that they are a part of our church family, and we have so awaited their arrival. Thank you. Thank you for what they're going to mean as being a part of our church family and our community, and for the blessings we get to be with as watching their family grow with ours. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything and for the many blessings in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Deanna. Our scripture for today is taken from the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. If you would grab your Bible that you brought with you, or If you didn't bring bring your Bible, grab a pew Bible out of the pew there. Now, for those who may not know, where is the book of Daniel, in the Old or the New Testament? That's right, the Old Testament. So, it's on 916 in my Bible. I try to be helpful. Ezekiel, if you know where Ezekiel is, it's right after Ezekiel. Daniel chapter 3, if you would turn to Daniel chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 14. Verse 14 this morning. Once you find that, if you would close the Bible on your finger and stand with me, raise those Bibles high above your heads this morning, and let's say our Bible pledge loud and proud. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Please remain standing with me as we read Daniel chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. King Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, and you do not worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, and entire musical ensemble to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Our Father, who art in heaven, Jesus, hallowed be thy name. You are so great. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This can't be how you meant for things to be. Help me to spread your love around here. Give us this day our daily bread. Please watch out for me today. Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive me for taking you for granted, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And help me to forgive others as you've forgiven me. Lead us not into temptation. There's so many distractions going on in my life right now. Keep me focused, but deliver us from evil. Please keep me pure. Keep me safe. Just help me to live my life like you want me to. Thanks for listening. I love you. Amen. Amen.
The last few weeks we've been stepping through this prayer that has come to be known the Lord's Prayer, because it's the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We learn that instead of the traditional Jewish way of considering God, you know, the fact that God is transcendent or removed, that authoritarian God, that disciplinarian that we have, Jesus wanted the disciples to think of God as a much more personal figure, as Father, as Abba, not the singing group, and as Daddy, even. Daddy, okay? So, you know, that isn't necessarily a stretch for us, but for the Jewish folks that Jesus were talking about that are more used to that separate, transcendent, disciplinarian type person, the one that they fear to even have his name on their lips, this idea of Daddy, this concept of Daddy, was a big stretch for them. So from the very beginning, to say this prayer, you have to believe that you are a what? A child of God. Now, once we establish that, we also realize that Jesus said, "Our Father, our Father." In other words, and let's say this together, all right? I am a child of God, and I am not alone. I am part of a family. So just to say those two simple words, it means much more, doesn't it? Our Father. Let's say this whole slide together. Our Father. I am a child of God, and I am not alone. I am a part of a family. This family is to support and to defend each other. This family is to lift each other up in prayer and do all in their power to provide a place of healing and wholeness for each other. And, you know, after we talked about these two words, and, you know, I think whenever I began that service, many people thought, our Father, what in the world is he going to say about those two simple words? But it's a lot deeper. Well, guess what? The rest of the prayer is a lot deeper too. Remember last week we talked about hallowed be your name. And after looking at some scripture regarding the word hallowed, we came to realize that hallowed be your name means, you remember? May you be given that unique reverence which your character and nature and personality as you have revealed them to us demand. Now, it's a lot prettier to say the other way, isn't it? Hallowed be thy name, right? That's a lot prettier and a lot more poetic, right? I'm sure that's why Jesus taught him that way, right? Well, that's the way we have it anyway. But this is what we're actually saying. Hallowed be your name. It means may you, God, be given that unique reverence which your character and nature and personality as you have revealed them to us demand. Does that make sense? So even though Jesus wanted us to think of God as this personal, safe figure, a father figure, the best father figure that you can think of, right? He also didn't want us to lose the holiness of God, who God is, the creator of all that is, all that ever has been, and all that ever will be. Say amen if you understand what I'm talking about. All right, good. Ultimately, we realize that this statement simply supported what we find in Scripture and that God is the what? Axiom. Yes, God is the axiom. If you're a mathematician, you know what that word means. God is the axiom. God's existence is the basic fact of life. The writers of Scripture, both old and new, would have never even considered trying to prove the existence of God because, well, duh, why would you do something so obvious? I mean, that just is the way it is. God is, and we should just accept that. God is the, capital T-H-E, axiom, right? So how do we express now this reverence for God who exists and the God who is personally interested in us? How do we express that reverence? Worship? How else do we express that reverence for God? How we treat other people? Prayer? Say that one more time. Care of our world. Joy. Hey, I like that. Singing. Yeah. Something that I want to remind you, and you'll hear me say this over and over again through this whole prayer, and quite honestly, you've heard it before and you'll hear it afterward, is the fact that both of us, all of us, are a child of God. I am a child of God. You are a child of God. And folks, we are not alone. We find that our outward walk, our outward conversation, should continually show that inward reverence that we have. Does that make sense? So, since our life of reverence is what is being expanded outward away from us for people that we meet, right? For people that we don't even know, right? Since that is the case, we need to show that inward reverence that we have, that we claim to have as Christians, that we claim to have anytime we say this prayer, as we walk down the street and that becomes an outward presence and people comes up to you and says, man, you know what? I got to have what you have. Remember that? Remember me talking about that last week? I know what's going on in your life. How can you be so stable and happy? I got to have some of that. Right? Remember that? There are many of you in this congregation who have told me, and you give God praise with tears in your eyes, that someone came up to you and said, you know what, with everything that's going on in my life, and they're saying, how can I be so happy? How can I be so stable? And you always say, Eric, you know why, right? That's that inward reverence that we're talking about. Remember last week I talked about the first time I held my three sons? And I was like, oh, praise God. That is that reverence, that awe, that hallowed be. See, in my, oh, God, I said hallowed be your name, didn't I? Right? Yes. So, we must have reverence and we must hallow the name of God in our actions of everyday life. It must be lived and demonstrated in every moment of our lives, both in the church and in the world. Both in the church and in the world. Tell me something. As a church, and it works personally too, but let's expand it to the church. What would happen if we as a church wanted to keep all the amazing things that God are doing, that God is doing? There is one God. Let me make that clear. That God is doing in this church. What if we wanted to keep that to ourselves and keep it in the walls of this church? I mean, we don't want to lose it, do we? We'd grow stagnant. Why? We're keeping all that blessing to ourselves. Why would we grow stagnant? Huh? Anybody read my newsletter yet? Oh! Well, don't blame Sarah. That's probably the preacher's fault. I was just waiting for God's wisdom, and it never came, so I had to put something down. Read my newsletter. It talks about that. Talks about two candles. Read my newsletter. You see, we cannot keep God's blessings. It's kind of like the Dead Sea. You know the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, right? I've talked about this before. Everything that runs in the Sea of Galilee runs out, right? What happens to the Dead Sea? It doesn't run out, does it? And now we know from a scientific viewpoint that as the water evaporates, because there's no way to leave, as the water evaporates, all the minerals in the water, right, stay. It's like if you boil a pot of water, all the salts and stuff stay in the pot, right? When you boil it dry, same thing happens in the Dead Sea, right? They don't go anywhere and it becomes a Dead Sea, right? Really, no life. I mean, there's microbial life in there, but really, no life can be had in the Dead Sea. And that, why is that? Well, spiritually, we can say the Dead Sea keeps everything to itself, doesn't it? Right? Just like a church, many churches are, quite honestly. I've talked to many pastors, oh man, our church is just dying. I don't understand what's going on. And I'll ask questions. And almost every time, they're keeping all their money to themselves because they don't want to, it's so, they have such a little amount, they don't want to give it away, right? They keep all the blessings that God is giving them to themselves, right? They can't give it away because, man, it just seems like it ekes in, right? Right? No, you give away everything and nothing is taken away from you. As a matter of fact, your blessings are, what's that? Pressed down, shaken. You all know the scripture, right? Pouring over. So, today we come to the next line of Jesus' prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. What in the world is that all about? When you think of a kingdom, let's start here. When you think of a kingdom, what thought comes to mind? Just shout it out. When you think of a kingdom, what thought comes to mind? Huh? Okay, yeah. Okay, who else? A king? Land? House? Castle? Whatever? Wealth? Okay. You see, it's important because the announcement of the kingdom was the purpose that Jesus came into the world. And that comes directly from Jesus' lips. If you look up Luke 4, verse 43, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." But we have a problem. In the New Testament, the kingdom is not a territory, is it? That is one of the biggest battles that Jesus fought, even with his disciples, right? Because they were fighting over who's going to get the seat next to Jesus, right, when he takes over the kingdom, right? And Jesus was saying, "Oh my gosh, you do not understand what you're asking," right? He even really got frustrated with his disciples. You can read about it in Mark. Mark especially shows Jesus' frustration with his disciples when they just didn't get. He wasn't talking about an earthly kingdom, was he? He wasn't talking about a territory like Judah or the U.S. or Belgium or Great Britain. Jesus was talking about the reign of God. Amen? The reign of God. And what in the world does that look like? Not R-A-I-N, but E-I-G-N. The reign of God. What does that look like, folks? How can you put your fingers on the reign of God? Can you smell the reign of God? Can you see the reign of God? Can you touch, taste the reign of God? How do you describe the reign of God? As we read the Gospels, we learn that Jesus was the one and only person who ever fully accepted and fully carried out the will of God. Therefore, along with his resurrection, we understand that with Jesus, the kingdom came. With Jesus, the kingdom came. Jesus not only proclaimed the kingdom, he is the kingdom demonstrated in human life. Now, stick with me here. I don't have much time. And I want you to stick with me. The kingdom is where God's will is done. The kingdom is where the will of God is done. When we speak of the kingdom of God, it is not to state a theological doctrine. What's theology? If you break it down, theo and ology, what is that? Study of God, right, yeah. So it's not to state a theological doctrine. It's not to institute a political program. It's not something that involves nations and countries. The kingdom of God begins with who? Even more personal. The kingdom of God begins with? Yeah, you and me. The kingdom of God begins with you, and it begins with me. The kingdom of God is to confront oneself with a personal challenge in which we either accept or refuse the will of God for us. So to say, "Your kingdom come," we're really praying, "Lord, help me to do your will." Now, many of you have said this prayer all of your life, and have you ever thought about the fact whenever you say, "Thy kingdom come," you're saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me to do your will." You see, Jesus was quite clear over and over again that the initial change must come in people, for if it did not, any new situation would simply relapse into the old one again. Now tell me, in history, have we ever heard of that again and again and again? Yes. The different demand that Jesus made was that the individual person must accept the will of God before there could be any change in society at all. The kingdom must come from the hearts of the people before the kingdom could even begin to come from the world at large. Now tell me, where do you think Jesus intended this society to begin? So we have it in our hearts. It starts with you and me. But where do you think Jesus wanted this society to begin? The church. So that's why the Holy Spirit was sent. And we call it Pentecost at the beginning of the church. Yes, that's right. The church. You see, as a Christian, the kingdom of God is to boil up inside of us. And when we gather as the church, we're to be white hot with God's kingdom. It reminds me of this book that I have called 212 Degrees. Many of you may remember me talking about this before, or maybe you've read it. And when does water boil? 212 degrees. So what happens if it's 211 degrees? Nothing, right? But yet, wait, it's only 212 degrees as boiling water, right? So how can 211 degrees, right? When we come together, when we're individuals, maybe we're 211 degrees, but guess what? When we come together, folks, we got to be white hot, right? We got to be 212 degrees, right? We got to be white hot with intensity of God's will for us. The church, through prayer, through worship, through Bible study, through small groups, etc., 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 we are to remain focused on God's will in our lives and in the life of this church. So when we pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," it gets real scary and real personal, doesn't it? It's like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Or it's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before they were thrown in the furnace. They told King Nebuchadnezzar, "If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you set up." Tell me something, were they sent into the fire? Were they burned up? You know what? We celebrate that, don't we? Have you ever noticed that? But we celebrate it like you guys just said, right? Wow, I guess I'm going home. There's four guys in the fire. I guess that's it, right? Do you think that was the crowd's response? What do you think? Do you think they were sitting down when they said, "Wow, those guys... they sent three in there, and it looks like there's four in there, but I don't know. Hey, is supper ready, hon?" No, I bet you they're like, "Holy cow, look at that! Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they went in there, but I swear there's four people in there. How are they not getting burned up? It looks like they're dancing or something." Right? You'd almost want to run in there yourself and see what's going on. Join the party, right? Maybe not. Folks, this was a hot fire. I mean, this was as hot as a king could make it. It was practically boiling the flesh off your bones whenever you were 20 feet from it. But yet those three guys were in there and they weren't burning up. How could this be? We like these moments, don't we? When we can sell it, well, I hope. When we can celebrate God's victory in our lives, amen. But the thing is, here's the thing, guys. What happened to Jesus in the garden? You know, God's son. And he's going through that agony and he says, "Father, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will." What happened to Jesus? Was he saved from the fire? Was there another person hanging on the cross with him? As a matter of fact, it got to the point where he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You see, folks, when we truly and honestly say, "Thy will be done," it's scary, isn't it? Isn't it? And if you're like me and you like to control your surroundings, well, guess what? You're in the wrong place. That's what God keeps telling me when I look in the mirror. Right? Eric, you got to let go, buddy. How many times have we heard that in our life? Am I just the only one that's... Yeah, okay. Folks, it's scary. When you say, "Thy will be done," guess what? You could be that person like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where your names are written down in Scripture and people remember you for years and years and lift you up and say, holy cow, look what God did in you. I want to touch you. I want some of that. But you know what? On the other hand, you may be that person that hangs on the cross. I don't know about you. That's scary. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Can we say it? Can we say it? Thy will be done. Amen. Dear God, we come before you today humbly, thanking you for this opportunity to lift our hands and our hearts, our voices and our spirits, our very bodies to you, God. We do want your will to be done in our own personal lives and in the life of this church. And you know us, God, better than we know ourselves, and you know how scary that is for us. And so today, God, I ask for your powerful anointing in Jesus' name to wash over us so that we can live your reverence in the world so that we can come together and celebrate with confidence, knowing that no matter what happens, your will is being done, God. Be with us. Walk with us. Even carry us on this journey, Lord. And all of God's people said, amen.
Join me in our closing song, number 569, and we'll sing the first and the last verse. We've a story to tell to the nations that will turn their hearts to the rock. A story of truth and mercy, a story of truth and light, a story of peace and light. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come. Show to the nations who the path of sorrow have trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God, might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
Thank you so much for being here today. My prayer is that you felt God's presence, and it will energize you to go out into that world and be a healing presence for those that are around you. Amen. So go from this place knowing, let's say it together, I am a child of God. Believe that down deep, deep, deep in your soul. It'll change your life. May you experience this week God's shalom in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So be it. Amen. Don't forget to spend some time with Justin and Stacy at the reception. Come on with me, guys.